Good morning, everyone.
Remember these things. Take heart in some of the different things that God
is
calling
you to. Different.
As we think about Father's Day, this also applies to dads.
Teaching time, and
the message is
going
to actually
be
a good father.
Involve our kids from downstairs.
To be aware of what's going on.
You may be some of my actors, and it's not me.
Be courageous when you are needed.
I did talk to some teachers, and they were telling me some names as to who could be really good actors for me.
God is greater than any giants that face your way. And it's not just for the dads.
But this year we have been going through
this
story.
Is something
we've been doing it upstairs here in our teaching times. We've been doing it in our small groups.
I want to thank
Derek has been doing it with youth.
Go through the story.
And we've been doing it downstairs with our Sunday school teachers and the classes. And so we've been going through the whole story.
But it's also
along
important
the way.
To remember that.
And a couple weeks ago, knowing
that
this is kind of how we were going to work things. I went
but
downstairs and asked the kids,
shepherd.
Okay,
he
we went through the story. What
father.
Is your favorite story?
And
what would you like to teach
for us.
To the adults upstairs? And
we
had
we
someone put up their hand and the resurrection of Jesus.
And
thinking, oh, that's
to
a great
die
answer.
For us.
What, if that's your
he
favorite
has,
story in the Bible, that's awesome.
And someone said,
the baptism of Jesus. Oh, that's also a great answer. Anything else, like Daniel or whatever else. And only one had two votes, and that was David and Goliath. So this is, by popular demand, by one extra vote, you are getting David and Goliath today. Next week, we are having our biannual sharing celebration. At that point, you have the opportunity to share with us what your favorite story or your favorite lesson that you learned as we went through the whole entire story. So, yeah, we often share, you know, what's happening in our lives from the front. We can pray for each other. But it's also an opportunity to say, this is really what God taught me through the story as we went through the Bible. So as you think through the next week, and you're leaving it, Frank. Frank will be walking us through an opportunity to share up here, and maybe think to yourself, what are some of the things that God has really been teaching me as we've been going through the story of his, the story of his. And so that's what we've been doing in our small groups. But I also want to mention that next fall, we are going to actually take, we did this probably 5 or 6 years ago, we're going to break out of our small groups and format, and for a few months until about December, we're going to be offering 4 different, more in-depth courses. So instead of small groups, we're going to be we call them breakout sessions. And I just want to give you a heads up right now because we're already starting to plan. So we're thinking of 4 different options. One will probably be an in-depth study of a book of the Bible or a portion of the Bible, and it's going to be almost like a more Bible school sort of training than sort of sermonettes and stuff like that. We're talking about doing another one for healthy male and female relationships. Some people will call that marriage, but it can be a lot deeper than just a marriage course. So if you know how to basically how to talk and understand guys and girls better. We are going to have one, we're aiming to have one on growing deeper spiritually. Through prayer, through other ways that we excite ourselves. And we're also hoping to have one for new or younger believers just to get a grasp of what that is. And so we're still tweaking some of those things, but please stay tuned as fall approaches. I think we changed our small group thing in the bulletin. If anyone ever reads the bulletin, it's in there. But today we are talking about David and Goliath. And we're going to be going fairly quickly through this. I'm not going to hit every single detail. And if you're sitting there in there going, well, he didn't say that. Well, that's probably true to try and get through for time. So if you want, read 1 Samuel 16 and 17. Those are sort of the verses that we're going to be touching with today. So we're going to talk about a young David, but first to understand David and Goliath, we kind of have to go back in time just a little bit, because to understand David well, we actually have to understand what he was walking into, and that's basically because he came into a time where King Saul was the very first king, and he was anointed. So I'm going to need someone to be King Saul, and we have decided that the best King Saul would be Daniel. Oh, you know it. So we're going to, oh, wait a second. We need to come up here. You're good. So you're going to be King Saul. But before King Saul was became king, Samuel anointed you. So we're going to need Samuel. I'm going to bring Travis up. And Travis is, he has his horn of anointing oil.
Oh, wow.
Just one little spray. So he anointed you as king. And you became king, King Saul. And King Saul started off as a really, really good king. And he did a lot of really good things. But the problem with Saul was he ended up having a couple character flaws that really cost him. One of the things was that he was, okay, this is how you're going to try and do your acting skills. You were impatient, so act impatient. A lot of times Saul acted without actually waiting on God. He was impatient. He was doing things ahead of time. So he was also very proud. And he thought that he was the one who should do everything. He was a little bit, maybe a lot, selfish. And he thought of himself more times than he thought of others. And he got angry quickly. And a lot of times he allowed his anger to dictate his actions and his decisions. And God ended up getting frustrated with Saul. And he told Samuel that he was supposed to go out and look for a new king. So Samuel, if you go over looking for a new king... And Saul ended up going to his castle. I have got a little throne up there for you that you can sit on, and I'll call you back later. Yeah, where's your anointing oil? You need your anointing oil. Meanwhile, there is a family of Jesse who has a young son named David. And David, we are going to bring up Jonathan. And David himself, he was a shepherd, so he had a shepherd's staff. He was sort of a little smaller, so this was big for him at the time. And of course, he had his favorite toy, and this will be your slingshot, because it wasn't a slingshot; it was a slingshot, right? And so he was a young shepherd boy, and we're going to need some sheep. I have someone said Catherine, Sophie, and Sarah. So you have to baa like sheep. Go baa, baa. Okay. And the wonderful thing about shepherds is that shepherds lead not from the front, but shepherds lead from behind. A shepherd doesn't go running off and expect the sheep to follow. A shepherd actually leads and keeps an eye on everything. And there's a couple of things that we learn about shepherds. And that is, first of all, shepherds are compassionate. So if all of a sudden our sheep are eating grass here, and they run out of grass, that the shepherd sees, oh, there's some nice grass down there, and the shepherd gently brings the sheep over to, so you can move your sheep down into that center area down there, from behind. And the wonderful thing, we actually understand what a good shepherd is based on the Bible, because God and Jesus are a good shepherd. You can sit down there if you want at this point. It says that he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And a good shepherd makes sure that with compassion that they have enough food, that they have enough drink. And so David was a shepherd that would take care and make sure that his flock was taken care of. It also is a good shepherd also is someone who is aware that if one of the sheep, Catherine, come here. runs away for some strange reason, the shepherd will come along and go and bring the one sheep back to the flock. Okay, now go back to... And again, we learn that God is a good shepherd. Jesus is a good shepherd. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds them? He's aware of where all the sheep are, and he brings them all back together. He keeps them together. The other thing that a good shepherd is courageous. And we learn that David actually was a very courageous shepherd. He continued to care for his sheep. And in fact, there were times that there were predators around that were actually after the sheep. So I'm going to need a... Who did they written down here? Rainbow and Gentil to come forward. Gentil is in a hurry. He's hungry. So it said that that they took out a lion and a bear that David would take that. So I need you guys to both give me your greatest roar and growl. Okay. No, not to them, not to me. Do it again. Okay. Well, that wasn't exactly how we expected it, but based on that, okay, here's your bear costume. You did a better roar, so you get the head, and you get the tail. You're the back legs. You and your wimpy roar. And it says in the Bible that he took out bears and lions, that young David, when a bear went to attack the sheep, so go and attack the sheep, that David would actually fight off the bears, and he would, you can just scare it off this time with your stick, and the bear would run away, although sometimes the bear didn't run away because, you know, David was just that good. Thank you. You may sit down. Your bear time has been... And it says and the wonderful thing about young shepherds at that time is that they had their slingshot, and I'm thinking that was probably like the fidget spinner of the day. Like they're just sitting there just winging rocks at different things and getting, you know, seeing if I can hit that and sitting something else. And I'm sure that David's mother was like, "Stop playing with your slingshot. You're going to take someone's eye out sometime." You know, but David was good. I mean, he's out there in the middle of doing nothing and just slinging the slingshot back and forth. You can keep practicing because you're going to need that later. And he will need it later in the story, right? And so it says a good shepherd is courageous. And it says that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And again, this is Jesus, this is for us. It's saying that a good shepherd, David being a good shepherd, would fight bears, would fight lions, because he was concerned about his sheep. He didn't have his own everything on himself that he was worried about. He was actually worried about the well-being of the sheep. And he was courageous, and he learned how to take care of his sheep. Meanwhile, while David was out in the fields, and David, you can go sit with your sheep for a little bit. We'll be calling on you in a little bit later. God told Samuel to come and visit David's father's house, and he was going to anoint a new king. So I am going to need... your name is Jesse right now. Your father. And you have four kids. I need Joshua... Is Joshua? Joshua. Oh, he's on that side. I need Lucky. And so come on this side. You can stand there. And I will need Joyeux. And you guys can stand along here. And it says that Samuel came to Jesse's house. Yeah, you can send him in order, any order you want. And Samuel came into to Jesse's house, and God had sent him there saying, there is going to be the next king there. I need you to anoint him, but don't tell anyone what's going on. So Samuel meets Jesse, and Jesse starts introducing him to his kids. So he first introduces him to the first son named Eliab. And he was strong, and he was very good looking. And and Samuel thought, well, this has got to be the king. So he went. He was just about to anoint him, but then God spoke to him, and he said, and he said to him that, yeah, you know what? He might look nice on the outside, and he might be very smart, and he might have a whole bunch of things, but this is not the person that God has in mind. And Samuel was just about to anoint him, but God said that he was looking for someone who had a heart of God. Someone that whose heart was soft for God. And even though he looked like the next king, right now this is not the person that God had in mind. In fact, one of my favorite verses in the Bible says, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And God is looking at the heart and saying, no, this is not going to be my next king. And so Jesse goes and shows them the next child. And this one's name is Abinadab. And again, Samuel looks very good looking, you know, nice and strong. Show me your muscles. No. which is why Abinadab was not chosen either. No. And he went to the third son, and that was Shema. And again, he looks at him and says, no, this is not who I'm called. And Samuel's starting to wonder, well, why did you bring me here? Like, there's no more sons. So he asks Jesse, is there any more sons? And he says, I do actually have a fourth son. He happens to be out in the field. And so he sends one of his kids to go get David, yeah, and then you can take care of the sheep while he's gone, so you can have a seat down there. And grab. No, you. Yeah. You can give him the. And David comes back in, and Jesus said, this is the one. And Samuel turns around and anoints him. And so God has called him because he has a good heart and he's a soft heart and he's ready to go. And so, Jesse, if you want to take your family over here. And Samuel disappears at this point in the story. So, Samuel, you can find your way back and don't anoint anyone on your way. yeah. Just off to the side. We'll need you. We'll need you to help fight a war. And you can go down and take care of your sheep. And you can come back up and hang out with your family. Isn't that a lovely family over there? Meanwhile, we go back to King Saul, who's been patiently or impatiently waiting up here, spinning around in his throne. And he's having problems with the Philistines again. And especially this giant named Goliath. And we're going to need a Goliath. I saw Brock come in. And Goliath was this tall. Oh, stand up here. You're not tall enough. Okay, on your tippy toes, maybe. It says that Goliath was this amazing physical specimen, tall and strong. It said that he had all the best armor. So here, we're going to try and stick this on you. Perfect. See if you can get those wrapped around those strapping arms of yours. That's because you're so big. I almost lost that. And I'm going to come out this way instead. And of course, you get your sword. And he taunts the Israelites. So he's taunting. Now you can taunt Saul over there. Saying, okay, you think that you're so big, you think your God is amazing. What on earth are you, why doesn't someone come out and fight me? And so Saul, you can come out down here for me, brings out an army, and part of his army is David's brothers. So Jesse sends his brothers to help fight in the army. And again, the taunting continues for 40 days. He's taunting, and he's basically saying, your God isn't big enough. Your God isn't anything special. And not one of them was willing to go out and fight. Not one of them was willing to go out and fight. And can I say not one of them? That includes the king. Because Saul was known as a great warrior. He was a great battler. But he also was saying, somebody else do it for me. And he wasn't willing to do it. He actually was doing anything he could to bribe people. I'll give you my daughter. You won't be taxed. All these things. And not one of them was saying, yeah, it's not worth trying to go up against Goliath. And so what ends up happening is that... I got to find where I am. Jesse realized that they'd been there for 40 days, and they were probably getting hungry. So Jesse calls David, and at this point, the sheep, you can either stay there or you can go back to your seats. What do you want to do? You're good there. David goes, and his son calls, so go see, and take your weapons with you. Goes up, and he says, the kids are probably getting hungry, so I have this bread for you. Oh, this is a reminder that we're having a barbecue afterwards, so everyone's invited for hot dogs and hamburgers. No, well, you have to fight David to get it. And so he gives the bread and says, please take this to your brothers up at the front. And so he grabs it, and he goes along. Now, at this point... Jesse, you're done. You can have a seat. Thank you, Jesse. And he comes up, and as he starts giving the food to his brothers, he hears Goliath taunting.
I'm taunting you.
All of them.
Your God is terrible.
All of them.
Oh, yeah, you're all. you're puny. Yes, exactly.
And when David heard... He was wondering, how come no one is standing up for God? Why is no one defending God's honor? And he went and he talked to his brothers, saying, why isn't someone fight them? And they said, you're so small. I mean, don't bother them. And they basically said, don't go home. Take care of the sheep. Leave everything alone. We're just going to hide here and not die. He went and they said, well, go talk to Saul. And at this point, your brothers can exit the stage. Thank you for coming up. And give me that bread. And David goes to Saul and he asks Saul if he could fight against Goliath. Oh, they're over on that side. Saul wondered, well, how on earth could you possibly think that you could actually defeat such a great giant? And it's because he had faith that his God, our God, is greater than the giant. And he said to King Saul, if you want to, can you read that out really loud?
Rescue me from the hand of this Philistine.
That is not true. Okay.
I know where you're going to end up, so just But notice in some ways that God had prepared him as a shepherd in protecting, and he's already faced a lion. He's already faced a bear. He's ready to go to the next level. And he is confident, and he's not confident in his own ability, because it says here that the Lord who rescued me is also going to be the Lord who rescues me again. And as we remember these things about how God rescues us, we can actually face the next big challenge and the next big challenge. And so Saul offered to outfit David with his very best. And so he gave him a nice size cloak. So try and put that on. Come forward, more forward here so we can all see. And it was a little bit big and bigger and awkward than he was hoping for. And he gave him his really heavy sword. So pull that out. Oh. But it was too heavy for him. And he said, you know what? I don't need any of these things. All I need is God on my side. I don't need the armor. I don't need it. So he gives back the sword, and he gives back the armor. And he gives it back to Saul. And Saul goes back and sits on his throne. Or you can go back to your... No, he likes his throne up there. And so instead, he grabbed his slingshot. And he picked out five really nice rocks from the... I hope you have good aim, too. You've been practicing for a long time. And he picked out five stones, and he went to confront Goliath. And Goliath yells out, let's see if Goliath wants to yell this. Can you read that one there?
I am a dog. Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?
So he's going, this is what you send out against me? And so he keeps taunting him. The next thing that David says is,
you come against me.
Yeah, it's good.
You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel.
Okay, now, it may or may not work, but he picks a rock that he really likes. And anyone in the front row, in case this doesn't work, just keep your hands up. All right, see if you can take down the giant. And he picked up the stone and he swung the... I'll just throw it at him. Just throw it at him. And with that, I would like everyone to thank my actors for a wonderful job. You may head back to your seats. Thank you. Thanks. Oh, the anointing oil, good. I was actually going to get him to use this rock, but that didn't think that was going to work. And so I just want to conclude just quickly here. There's the clicker. I was going to need Rob to click the next one. So today is we're celebrating two things. We're celebrating Father's Day, and we're celebrating graduation for different people. To the students that are out there, David's story is not as much about what he did as much about who he was, the characteristics that God was building into him, what he understood. And as you look to the school end of the school year, some of you are going to go to new schools. Some are going to graduate from elementary to high school. Some of the youth are graduating from high school to, well, who knows what. And it might seem like there's a giant task ahead of you. And it may be seeming like it's a Goliath-sized task ahead of you. But we can remember some of the things from David, of who David was, the characteristics that who he was that helped slay the giant. And that is to be a shepherd. To have compassion, to be aware of people around you, not as much about yourself, to be courageous in the light, knowing that God will... Sorry, that's me. I put it on the back instead of the front. No.
No, and I think this slid down.